Isn't it great to be able to see? And you can see all those. Look at the beautiful people around you. Aren't they just absolutely fantastic today? Some of them more beautiful than others, but they're all beautiful, okay? And I'm so glad that God has given us the ability to see. But you know what happens is sometimes our eyes plays tricks on us. You ever notice that? Okay, so is this going to work? Put on that first slide up there, if you could. So sometimes we don't necessarily see what is really there. It's not even there. Is that what I'm hearing? Are we having problems again? Okay, we'll get to that. I want us to, we're going to get to what I've got to show in just a second. But here's the thing, folks. Our eyes can play tricks on us, and our lives can play tricks on us as well, can't they? And sometimes we get our vision skewed by things around us. We get overwhelmed with challenges or frustrations, and it brings us to a place where our vision gets skewed. And I believe that God wants us to see clearly what he has for us. I believe that God wants to bring us to a place that we are seeing the things that will bring hope, the things that will bring joy, the things that will bring fulfillment in our lives. This is Vision Sunday. And one of the reasons we showed you that vision from the, there we go, I got 3 minutes to preach. One of the reasons, there he is, that's not me. Keep going, they're doing really well actually. We'll go through all the songs again, I'll sing them for you. One of the reasons that I showed you the this video from Franklin Graham and the Hope Vision, there we go. Come on, give them a hand. They got it. They're beautiful people. It's, I believe God wants to do something in our lives. I think he wants us to give us a vision to see beyond our circumstances and to see the potential of what can be when we are on fire for the kingdom of God. Come on, somebody say amen. So let me go to the next slide. Sometimes what we see is not necessarily there. I want you to tell me how many F's are in this sentence. Okay? I'll give you 10 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. How many? Some said 2. Some say 3. Yes, you're correct. There are 6. There are 6. Finished files, that's 2 F's, are the result of, that's 3, years of scientific, that's 4, study combined with the experience of, where am I missing? Yeah, there you go. Next slide. Okay, I want to ask you this. Which one is a man, which was a male, which is a female? Female on the left, male on the right, is that correct? You're wrong, they're both female. It's the same picture, different lighting. Next slide. I want you to understand that what you're seeing there is not a lake. There is not a lake there. Okay, go to the next slide. There you go, you can see he's laying on a tree trunk. Our eyes play tricks. Next slide. Now, these are squares. I want you to understand something. Both those squares are the same color. Do you know that? They are both, if you don't believe me, put your finger and cover the line in between the two squares. Do you see that? Okay, next slide. Are these lines crooked or straight? They are straight. They are straight. Okay, next one. Do you see the baby in the picture? Who does not see the baby in the picture? So they see that the tree branch at the top is the eyes and the feet in the bottom. Okay, and next picture. What is wrong with Lincoln in this picture? Is there anything wrong? Other than the fact that he's upside down. He's missing an ear, no hat. Okay, well, go to the next slide. This is what it actually looks right side up. Our eyes will play tricks on us. This is the last one. I love this one because when you look at Hollywood and you see all these old cars and you think, wow, where did they get all those old cars from? That is an incredibly beautiful picture. I love old cars. What you're seeing is an optical illusion. What the true picture is this. Go next. There you go. Cars on a little board, and you see the street behind you. Again. Yeah, that's how they do it. Now you know. Vision. Okay, you can go to the next slide now. We'll stop with that. I want to talk to you about vision here tonight. And I want to, this morning, I'm ahead of myself. And I want us to talk about what is our vision as Spa Church. What are we all about? And you've read it in the back of the, before you came in. It's written all over our windows. It's to be a diverse church, connecting our neighbors with Jesus and empowering communities with purpose. I think it's on the next slide that I've got that on there. Okay, I don't have it on there. To be diverse, I want to talk to you about being diverse, first of all, culturally. Let me ask you something. Let's start with that. How many languages are there in our world today? Does anybody know? Any ideas? Take a guess. Stab at it. 5,000? 200 and something? 200 and something? It's more than that. Somebody said 5,000? 7,500. There are 6,500 languages in our world today. What is the most popular language? Our Spanish crew says it's Spanish. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Swahili for those that speak. Some says English, some says... Actually, the most popular language in our world today, believe it or not, is Mandarin. Mandarin Chinese. There are 1,213,000,000 people in the world that speak. So, folks, you think our language is great? You got to learn Chinese if you want to be really great. Just saying. See, here's the thing. We've got a lot of languages in our world that represent a lot of cultures. But what really invigorates me is to know, first of all, God understands them all, but God has a plan and a purpose for every culture, every language, every individual, and they all have an incredibly important part in his kingdom. Go with me to Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4. You kind of know this verse. Acts chapter 2. It's up on the screen, but if you got your Bibles, it's always good to go to your Bibles. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, chapter 2, says this. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit, began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them the ability. Do you ever wonder why God used what we call tongues or other languages at this point when the church actually started? Do you ever wonder why he used that? I mean, like, when you think about it, I think it's pretty wild to see people walking around the church at that time with flames of fire coming from their head. Now, that's pretty wild. That would get my interest, yeah? You know, you'd be seeing somebody walking around with flames on their head. You're going, wait a minute, there's something going on over there in that church, right? Let me just explain something, just for your knowledge. God didn't do that to make human candles, okay? That was not his intention. God did that because he was showing something he had done years before. If you think way back in the time of Moses, you remember when Moses came to the burning bush? What did he see? He saw fire. And what did it represent? Does anybody remember? The presence of God. The presence of God. You remember when the Israelites walked out of Egypt and they were going through the desert. There was a flame of fire that went before them. The presence of God. It fell upon his people at Pentecost. And you know what? I pray that it falls upon us in our day and age. We need God's presence here, folks. We need that power. We need that victory. Every one of us needs that. The presence of God in our lives. But he followed that up with what we call tongues or other languages. And see, here's why I think one of the main reasons he did that was because during that time, there was a celebration happening in Jerusalem. It was a harvest festival, the Jewish harvest festival they called Pentecost. And as these people came out, they began to speak the languages of all the people that were gathered. And something happened. Something happened. They go, God is speaking to us through these people. And it began to unite the people. And they began to get interested in the things of God. See, here's the thing. Every one of us comes with something. Something unique that each one of us brings into the kingdom to unite us. Our languages, our cultures, whatever it is, it's got to be something that brings us together, not pushes us apart. That's what happened at the day of Pentecost, and I pray that's what happens today. I love what Archbishop George Carey used to say. He said, the Spirit never leaves identical fingerprints. I like that. God made you different, and the Spirit has given each one of us a different ability to build up the church, to unite us, if it's language, if it's culture, whatever it is. See, in the kingdom of God, Galatians chapter 3, verse 28 says this, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for we are all one. We are all one in Christ Jesus. See, we celebrate those diversities. We celebrate the fact that you're different than me. Hallelujah for that. And that I'm different from you. Praise God. We celebrate those diversities. So what flavor are you adding? See, I said this before. It's been said that America is a melting pot. I am a strong believer that Canada is a stew. And if you've ever done a stew, you know the difference. A melting pot, you just kind of put everything together, grind it up, and you got one mush. But a stew, everybody adds their flavor. The carrots add a flavor. The meat adds its flavor. The celery adds its flavor. The garlic, hallelujah for garlic, adds its flavor. We all add our flavor. What are you adding? What are you adding to this church? What are you adding to the kingdom of God? From your cultural perspective, Jamaican people, man, you're out there going, glory, hallelujah, I've seen it. You should be doing that in the church. Thank you. Those that come from Nigerian background, man, I've seen you worship God. I know how you can worship God. Come on. Hallelujah. Preach it, brother. Come on. Let's make that happen. We all come. The Filipino community. I love you folks. I mean, I love you all, okay? I'm just saying. But you know what it is to get out in the community. You know what it is to pray, and that is something we need. We need every culture, every individual. We need Canadians, hallelujah, to do what we can to bring glory to God. But we got to work together. We even need Germans. Amen. Come on, Germans. Not to bring the bratwurst and sauerkraut, but to bring something into the presence of the kingdom of God. We need the Indians. Amen, sister. Hallelujah. I'm going to miss a bunch of cultures, okay? We've got, what is it, 49 or whatever cultures that call this place home. I'm going to miss some, so forgive me if I missed you. But we celebrate diversity. We celebrate in a different way of expression. We celebrate the different generations. Listen, Acts chapter 2, verse 17 says this. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Peter is quoting here from Joel chapter 2, verse 28. It is a beautiful picture, of what God wants to do. It says he will pour out his spirit. We're not talking about just a simple sprinkling of rain on a very parched ground. He's not talking about a pastor standing behind the pulpit and spitting on the people in the front row. That's why it's only my wife that's sitting up front. Up here, he's talking about a pouring of his Holy Spirit, a drenching of God's Spirit upon all people, on every one of us. And then he said, this is how it's going to happen. He says that your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions. To prophesy means to predict or foretell future events, teach and proclaim the great truths of God. See, this isn't about some old man sitting on a mountaintop with his legs crossed and people climbing up the mountain to get a message from a prophet. He's talking to you that are younger generation. Are you hearing me? He's talking to the younger generation here. He says, you're young men and women. Yeah, you know what? You're going to prophesy. You are going to see visions. You know why I think that the enemy keeps our younger generation wrapped up in Netflix? I'm not against Netflix, okay? They do have Dukes of Hazzard on Netflix. Keep them wrapped up in stuff and cell phones, and they're always texting. And I think that's good for, I guess it's good for the muscles and the thumb. I'm not sure. Why did he keep them so bound up with technology? Why does he keep them so bound up with sometimes with self-centered thinking? You know why I think the enemy keeps them bound up like that? Because he knows how dangerous you are. Come on, he knows how dangerous you guys are. He knows if you guys can get excited about the things of God, man, you're going to stomp the enemy on his head. He knows that you've got the potential of being prophets in this day and age. You've got the potential of seeing visions from God. I'm not just talking about seeing stuff. I'm saying with God putting things on your heart and proclaiming that to this generation. We need the young generation, folks. We need them, and we need to encourage them to be the prophets, the visionaries that God says in his word. I didn't say it. God said it, that they are to be. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. And then it says, your old men will dream dreams. See, here's the thing. God said this for a purpose. Those that are older. I'm still a young man. Hallelujah. I'm only 47 years young. I believe God said your old men will dream dreams because God doesn't want you to stop dreaming. He does not want you to stop dreaming. Come on. Those that are a little bit older, don't stop dreaming. Don't stop dreaming. Don't stop asking God for those visions, those freshness from God. He showed himself through dreams, through his prophets. He showed himself through dreams to the people of the Old Testament. He said, Joseph saw the future. Daniel saw the king's dream in a dream. Jacob saw the ladder up to heaven. He showed himself. God showed himself to his people. He wants to show himself to you. We need you. Don't think you can sit back and say, man, my time's done. Man, if you're in a grave, yeah, it's done. If you're in a casket 6 feet under, you're done. But let me tell you, you ain't done until God says you're done. And he says in this word here, come on, he says in this word there that the old man will dream dreams. Be dreamers for God. Be dreamers for God. We need new dreams. We need freshness. We need new life. We need our people on fire for the kingdom. My point is the supernatural is for every generation. It's for every, I'm sorry if I'm sending you guys out, forgive me. People are leaving the services right now as I speak. I'm kidding, you can come back. The supernatural is for every generation, folks, from the youngest to the oldest. Are you tapping into it? That's what our vision is all about. That's what we're all about, different diversities. Diverse in culture, diverse in age, diverse in perspective. See, there's some non-negotiables. There are some non-negotiables when it comes to us as believers. We have our fundamental of faith, our statement of fundamental of faith on our website. You can take a look at that. But I love a statement of faith that was produced just a few years before I was born. In 325 AD. This is what it says. I hope we can get it up there. This is what it says. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, the only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. And on the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Universal Church. I believe in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. I believe in that. And that is non-negotiable. That is what we stand on as God's people today in this culture. But there are some negotiables. There are some things. You all bring a different flavor. Some of you may think things differently from Scripture, may think things differently in the way you worship. That's okay. It's okay. As long as you're reading the Word, as long as you're worshiping, doesn't matter how you express yourself, as long as you're doing it. Some of you think that the earth was created in 6 days. Some believe that it was created in 6,000 years. Some believe that Adam had a belly button. Some believe he didn't. I'm thinking when you get to heaven someday, you're not going to walk up to Adam and going to say, hey, can you just lift up your shirt for a second? I just want to see. Oh, I knew it. I knew it. It's not going to be your first thing. There are some things, folks, that we have different perspectives on. But folks, that's what makes us a diverse group, and that's exciting. That's what we celebrate. Okay, I took a long time on that, but that's okay. You're not going anywhere. We are a diverse church. To be a diverse church, connecting our neighbors with Jesus. Our theme for 2016, if you remember, I talked about this back in January, is Nexus. It means to connect, to tie, or to link. A connected series or groups. We are here to connect people with Jesus. To connect people with Jesus. Last Saturday, we had the privilege of going out into the Fleetwood Festival. And thank you for all those that, I know I thanked you last Sunday, I'm going to thank you again, for all those that were involved in that. One of the most wonderful things we got to do at the Fleetwood Festival last Saturday was we got to handle Bibles. I love getting Bibles into the hands of people because I believe in the power of God's Word. And I'm so grateful for the Gideons who came out and brought out Bibles. We gave over 100 Bibles out last Saturday. And I'm praying that people are going to open up that book. I'm praying that they're going to look in through those pages and God's Spirit will speak to them. I believe that with all my heart. We want to, yeah, thank you. There's a picture of our Fleetwood Day. We want to get people connected in the presence of God. Here is what it says in Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How then can they believe on the one can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? Folks, you got a message to give. It is a message of hope. It is a message of freedom. And it is a message of victory. Yesterday, I was at the... at this breakfast, and one of the speakers told about a ship, one of the cruise liners, that was cruising across the Atlantic. And as they were cruising across, they're north of the Galapagos Islands, if I can say that right, and they were looking, that people were looking in their binoculars, looking for birds and for sea life and so forth, and in the distance, they saw a little ship, a little boat. And on that boat, there was three men waving their life jackets. See, what had happened was about a week earlier to this, their ship had lost power. It was a fishing boat and had lost power, and they were drifting along. And so the passengers ran to the stewards or whomever they ran and talked to and says, hey, listen, we got an issue back there. We've got a boat. And they're waving their life jackets. And the captain says, we don't have time, and kept going. That boat went past the islands and went up, or the ship, and the boats came down, and that very day, two out of those three people died. It was finally picked up by the Galapagos Islands by a Coast Guard. And it was the Canadian press said, cruise liner goes by as two die and refuses to help. See, the reason I tell you is I don't want to be that ship. See, on that ship, they had all the water they needed. They had all the entertainment they could possibly want. All the food, all the clothing. They had everything on that ship. All these people needed was somebody to reach out and say, come on board. I don't want our church to be that ship. Are you hearing me? I don't want our church to be that ship because, see, here's the truth, folks. You go out in your neighborhood, and let me tell you, there are people on little boats that are sinking, that have no hope, that are reaching out and saying, I don't know what to do with my life. I don't know what to do about my family situation. I don't know what to do about my work. I'm broken, and they're hurting. And do we cruise on by and say, you know what, we'll leave it for someone else when God has called us to do the work? How can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? You know what you are and I am? We are the sent ones. Each one of us has been called, has been sent out to do the work of the kingdom. Mark 16:15, you know it so well. It says, Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. Folks, how do we do that? How can we do that? Well, in just a bit, as Pastor Les said, we're going to have a meeting with our lift groups. I want to encourage you to not just get in a small group, but bring people with you. This is a place they can meet in a small area and talk about some of their challenges. Sharon Poon sent me something last week on internet email, an interesting little survey or little study done down in California. It says the California Department of Mental Health did a study and discovered if you isolate yourself from others and you don't develop close friendships like in a small group, you are 3 times more likely to die an early death. You're 4 times more likely to suffer emotional burnout. You're 5 times more likely to be clinically depressed, and you're 10 times more likely to be hospitalized for an emotional or mental disorder. So for your own mental health, this thing says, get into a small group, be part of God's family. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. So if you're thinking, maybe I don't know if I should get into a small group, well, if you want to live longer, I would recommend it. If you want to stay out of the hospital, a small group's a good place to start. You're hearing me? We want to get people into our small groups. We want to connect with people in love. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, you know it so well. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. You know what the amazing thing is? If you put yourself out there and say, God, I just want to be used by you, he's going to use you. Praise God. He will use you. And he'll give you an opportunity to do something for his kingdom. I go in the mornings to the gym. He's not here this morning, is he? Good. I go in the mornings to the gym, and there's this guy that always comes onto the Stairmaster. I believe the Stairmaster is the stairway to hell. I just believe that, okay? But anyways, I'm on this thing, and you're walking up this crazy thing, and this guy usually comes beside me, and he talks to me. You know how hard it is to talk when you're on a Stairmaster? It's really tough, right? So you're feeling for me. Come on, give me an awe. Thank you. It's very heartfelt. But he talks to me, and we talk about life, and we talk about the Lord, and we talk about things of God. It's amazing how fast my time goes, though I'm talking like this, but it's amazing. Doing life gives you opportunities. The speaker yesterday, one of the speakers said that down in South America, there was a lady that walked into a church for her regular service, and a man walked up to her, and he said to her, I want to thank you because you led me to the Lord. And she looked at him and goes, what? I don't even know who you are. He says, no, no, señorita, let me tell you what happened. He says, I am the ticket man that takes your ticket on the bus. He says, you take the bus every single day when you drive around. I take your ticket every day. He says, I watch you. He says, I've seen how happy you are. I see you talk to other people. And it was intriguing to me. What is it about you? He says, one Sunday I had to work, and I saw you reading your Bible. And then I saw you getting off at this church, and I saw you getting out. And I thought, man, I'm going to go there. So the next Sunday I had off. So I went to that church, and I heard what the pastor had to say, and I gave my heart to Jesus. I got me a Bible, lady, he says, and I'm reading it. You led me to the Lord. You know what she did? She was simply salt and light wherever God put her. And God has put you into places to be salt and light, just to be an example, to do the small things, a smile, a kind word, maybe a hug, maybe simply taking a few moments out of your day for someone else. God wants us to connect. He wants to empower us. It's the last part of our vision statement, is empowering communities with purpose. He wants to empower us through his Spirit. Tuesday at our staff meeting, Pastor Lucas did our devotional, and he said something very interesting. He said, is it possible to do church without the presence of the Lord? Is it possible to do church without the presence of the Lord? And you know what's sad is, I think so. I think you can go through the motions and do church without God's presence being here. I know you've probably heard this before, but way back in the 1200s, there was a man by the name of Thomas of Aquino, and he walked into a room where the Pope at that time, Pope Innocent II, had been counting money that had come in. And as he was counting, he looked up to Thomas and says, Thomas, no longer, he says, can the church say that silver and gold have I none. And you know the story. Thomas looked up, looked at him and says, yes, your majesty, but no longer can the church say to the beggar, rise up and walk. I would rather have a church that says, rise up and walk. I would rather see people at this altar, folks, come on, and broken in the presence of God, saying, Jesus, I need you, than all the riches on this planet. And I hope that's you as well. I would rather have that crazy machine break down and not have the PowerPoint and not have the music, but have the Spirit of God, because that is the most important. See, Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. God has given us the opportunity of having that power, having the power and the presence of God in our lives. And we just need to say, God, fill me up, fill me up, fill me up. I don't want just a little. I want all of you. And folks, I pray that that is your cry to the Lord. We need the Holy Spirit. So he empowers us through the Spirit. He empowers us through different resources. You ever wonder why God gave pastors to the church? Some of you are going, I really wonder that at times. Well, let me tell you why. I am God's gift to you. Hallelujah. Come on. And so is all of our other pastors. And I'm not trying to be arrogant, okay? But Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 said, it was he, Jesus, who gave to the church apostles. He gave prophets. He gave evangelists. He gave pastors and he gave teachers. For what purpose? I'm glad you asked. This is what it says. To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. See, God gave us as leaders, as pastors, as evangelists, and apostles and teachers and all that, to empower you to do the work. Amen. Praise God. It's on you. Hallelujah. Come on, can I see an amen? Amen. Amen. It's all up to you. I read a wonderful commentary that says that the church did not call a pastor and pay him to do the work. They called him and to follow his leadership as he, through the word, equips them to do the job. So if the job's not getting done, it's your fault, not mine. Just saying. It is all of our responsibility to get the job done. And folks, I'm wondering, are we working or doing that which God calls us to do? See, we are here to equip you. We equip you to get you empowered to do that work, to do his purpose. And you know what the purpose is? What our purpose is on this planet? Your purpose is really simple on this planet. It's not that complicated. I had something back here, but it disappeared on me. Well, there you go. It's going to be one of those mornings, I can just tell. Okay, I had a mirror. Does anybody know where my mirror is? It was a big mirror. Nobody knows. Okay, probably somebody thought it was garbage. Our purpose is to reflect the presence of the Lord to the people around us. Our purpose is to be a mirror and to shine the light of Jesus through us to others. The mirror doesn't mean a whole lot, folks. It's the reflection of Christ that means the most. Reflecting the light of Christ into the lives of people around us. And I hope that you are reflecting Jesus. Our purpose is to reflect and to reproduce. Hallelujah for those that have babies. I'm not talking about that. Though I like babies, have lots of babies, but you got to be married, okay? And I can help with the marriage thing as well. But to reproduce ourselves by sharing the love of Jesus and bringing people into the kingdom. David Wilkerson, and I end with this. David Wilkerson was the founder of Teen Challenge. He once said this, "If I am not Christ-like at heart, if I'm not becoming noticeably more like him, then I have totally missed God's purpose for my life. It doesn't matter what I accomplish for his kingdom. If I miss this one purpose, I have lived, preached, and yes, striven in vain." See, folks, our purpose is that we must be Christ-like. We must be more like Jesus. Our goal, my goal, our goal as a leadership team for this church is to be a diverse church, connecting our neighbors with Jesus and empowering communities with purpose. And I want us to take some time to examine ourselves here today. Sonia, thank you for leading. Come on back up here in the team. I want you to stop and think, God, where, how am I doing in this purpose? Do I have the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in my life? Am I equipped in the way I should? Are we seeing people around us that don't know Jesus? Has God put someone on your mind here this morning? And I pray he does. Of someone that needs Christ. See, you're the pastor to that person. You are Jesus with skin on to that individual.